I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
Got rice cooking in the microwave. Got a three-day beard. I don't plan to shave. And it's a goofy thing, but I just gotta say, I'm doing all right. Well, I think I'll make me some homemade soup. I'm feeling pretty good, and that's the truth. It's neither drink nor drug induced. No, I'm just doing all right. It's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining when I close my eyes. It's hard times in the neighborhood, but why can't every day?
Rush used to start his three-hour show often on Mondays when he had a number of big stories to work. And he would talk about the fact that the show would unfold over the next 3 hours. And it would. What he did masterfully was he didn't try to cram it all into the first segment or two. And I hear other people do that. So I'm going to resist the urge, but a headline from the Daily Mail puts into perspective. President Biden, 78, hits the beach as the Pentagon admits it killed 7 kids in a drone strike. The French recall their ambassador. The FDA blows up his booster plans. And 12,000 Haitian migrants set up camp under a bridge in Texas. That is the state of what's going on, and that's not even all of it. President Biden, 78, hits the beach as the Pentagon admits it killed 7 kids in a drone strike. The French recall their ambassador. The FDA blows up his booster plans. It was a 16-3 vote. And 12,000 Haitian migrants set up camp under a bridge in Texas. It's bad in this country. Before we get to that, let's start local. A Houston mother, angry that the 17-year-old arrested for murdering her 19-year-old son has been freed on a $50,000 bond, which means $5,000, just a couple days after murdering her son. The suspect was released before they had even had a funeral for her murdered son. News report, Fox
19
26.
19 years old, freshly out of high school, you know, beginning his life working at Amazon, you know, just trying to find his way.
Shawana Lewis is describing her 19-year-old son, Patrick Lewis.
You are never supposed to bury your child.
No. But now Lewis is living every parent's nightmare. She says Patrick never saw her cry. Now she can't stop.
My kids at a young age ask me, have you ever cried? And I'm like, of course. You know, I just always was strong for them. But this is important. You know, this is important for him because it's not fair.
Last Friday, Lewis says she couldn't reach her son by phone.
I'm calling, my fiance's calling, and it's going straight to voicemail. Something's not right.
Then she hears about a crime scene just a few streets away.
One was deceased and one was being, you know, taken in custody. Either way, it was heartbreaking because I wasn't sure which one was my son.
Deputy constables say Patrick Lewis was shot while sitting in his car. 17-year-old Elijah Williams was arrested at the scene and charged with murder. Only 4 days passed and Williams is free on a $50,000 bond.
$5,000, you know, that's all he had to pay to get out after I've lost my son. He's in the vicinity of my neighborhood. You know, and you have calls to say that they've seen him and he's at McDonald's. That's not something my son will ever be able to do again. So it's disturbing.
Well, I'm sorry to say this, but it's true and it needs to be said. This is not an accident. This was exactly what rebuilding the criminal justice ecosystem looked like. This was what it was.
We are rebuilding the criminal justice ecosystem.
This is not an outlier. This is not a glitch in the system. Criminal justice reform, they called it, meant releasing murderers while the gun is still smoking, with blood on their hands, back out into the community in exchange, usually for no money. In this case, since they caught him murdering the guy, somebody had to come up with $5,000. Now, you've been charged with murder. Now, they'll delay your trial because the Harris County criminal courts won't have trials. But there's a good chance you may be going away for a long time. You got nothing to lose. So, you got no job. Never have. You got no job. And you like wearing expensive shoes and shirts. You like to drive around town in a nice car. So what do? You and a couple of your other buddies that are in exactly your same situation, y'all start riding around in a stiff, go find a car in the neighborhood, steal that, and then you start driving around through neighborhoods until you find a car that suits your interest. A buddy of mine had his Range Rover stolen. Similar circumstance from right in front of his house. And they had to, it was like that scene in Austin Powers. They had to back it up, pull it up, back it up, pull it up, back it up, pull it up, probably 25, 30 times because his wife pulled in behind him and was so close on his bumper, and he was parked right up next to the truck because the driveway, right up next to the garage because the driveway is not long enough for two cars back to back, but that's how they pull it off. He was in awe that they managed to get the car out of there without scratching her car or his. And he couldn't believe they had the audacity to do that because his point was they didn't put it in reverse and drive my wife's car back and then drive out. They had to carefully, they have no worry at all. And when you're out like that and you're going out gangbanging and stealing cars and driving around all night, what happens when the nice little league coach, the nice small business owner, the nice pastor, the nice firefighter comes walking out because he hears, you know, some rumbling outside? You blow him away. You kill him too. This is what the Democrats want. Don't let anybody around you naively vote for this crap ever again. This is what they want. This is what they got. And it only gets worse.
Barry Brigade. Activate the Michael Barry Show.
For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010.
Could save time in a bottle. The first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough.
48 years ago today, at only 30 years old, Jim Croce is killed in a plane crash in Natchitoches, Louisiana. You will remember the story of Dr. Hassan Gokul. He is was a doctor at Harris County Public Health Department. When the vaccine first came in that day, it was a cluster. I mean, it was a mess. It was being sent to places you didn't know where it was. You didn't know what it was going to take to get in and get the shot. But people that wanted it, wanted it. Well, Dr. Gokul, you'll remember, ends up, once you break the packet, once you open the milk or the wine bottle, and it starts going bad. And he was up against a gun on the time of what it was going to take to administer these vaccines. So he starts dialing people and saying, hey, this vaccine is going to go bad. Now, if he'd thrown those in the trash, he'd have gotten no trouble from Harris County, from the district attorney or the comandante. That'd have been fine if he'd just thrown it in the trash. But he didn't. He started calling elderly people, and eventually he did it also for his wife, who, by the way, qualified. She's older. Boss Ogg, Kim Ogg, who can't find it in her heart to prosecute murderers, rapists, pedophiles, you name it, decided she's going to go after this guy. But before they did that, the Comandante's Harris County Department of Health started asking him questions about the names on the list. These names seem foreign. Ali Hassan does not have to be foreign. He could have been born here. You don't know if he's foreign. But the names sounded like Desis. They sounded like South Asians. Oh, we can't have that. So they ruined this man. They fire him, and they bring a case to the grand jury. Let me tell you something. There is an old canard in law school, you learn that a grand jury will indict a ham sandwich. The grand jury is citizens picked by the district attorney to present cases to see if that case should go to trial, should charges actually be brought. It's almost never the case that the grand jury refuses to indict. The grand jury refused to indict. Kim Ogg has egg all over her face again. Shame. National news story. Well, now that Gokul is, okay, I'm done. Now he's saying, I'm going to sue you. And here's the best part. She's going to end up having to answer questions. It's now made national news. A lesbian woman Democrat in Republican Harris County is being shamed by the national news. How bad is that? CBS Sunday Morning.
It was December 29th, 2020. Vaccines were just rolling out nationally, and Harris County was having its first public vaccination event, and Dr. Gokul was the supervisor. At the end of the night, he said there was one open vial with 10 doses left in that vial, and they had to give them away within 6 hours or they were going to expire.
I made a quick call to the immediate supervisor. I said, hey, I've got a few extra doses. I'm going to find people to try and give them to, and the answer was okay. I started making phone calls to people that I thought would know somebody or might have contacts who may benefit from that vaccine. specifically in the high-risk categories.
Zara Ahmed was one of them. She works at a doctor's office, and her mother, who lives with her, has Parkinson's disease. She defends Dr. Gokul.
How is this stealing? I mean, I don't think it was... There's no way you could call this stealing.
Dr. Gokul says when there was just one dose left and less than an hour before it expired, he gave the vaccination to his wife, Maria, who has pulmonary sarcoidosis, which is an inflammatory disease of the lungs. The next day, he says he turned in all the paperwork for the 10 doses that he gave out. And 8 days after that, he said his HR director said he wanted to see him.
Well, we heard that you took a vial and vaccinated your friends and family with it. Well, I'm like, are you talking about the first day of vaccination when there were leftover vaccines and I took them and I found 10 people to give them to? Oh, you admitted. Well, they're going to have to terminate you. You guys were going to throw these away and I found people to give them to. He said, well, but you know, the other part of it is that you didn't do it in an equitable manner. Are you suggesting that there were too many Indian names in the group? He points his finger and goes, exactly.
The investigation report from the district attorney's office stated that the HR director did say that the patient forms that they had identified were individuals of the same nationality as Dr. Gokul. So at that point, it looked like the forms belonged to friends and family. 2 weeks after Dr. Gokul was fired, the district attorney put out a press release claiming that Dr. Gokul abused his position to place his friends and family in line in front of people and that he disregarded county protocols. But 5 days later, Assistant District Attorney Kimberly Smith told Dr. Gokul's lawyer in an email that there were not any written protocols at that time, nor was there a wait list. Harris County Judge Franklin Bynum reviewed the district attorney's case against Dr. Gokul, and he found that there was no probable cause to charge the doctor.
Based on the information they provided me, that not only had they not proven that there was theft, but that they had gone about it in a way that was pretty incomplete and pretty sloppy.
2 months later, the Texas Medical Board cleared Dr. Gokul of any wrongdoing, but the DA persisted. And 4 months after that, she took the case to a grand jury, and the grand jury declined to indict Dr. Gokul. The spokesperson for the district attorney's office told us that the grand jury has spoken, and we greatly respect that, adding, given grand jury secrecy and the possibility of civil litigation involving the county, it would be inappropriate for the DA to participate in an interview. Paul Doyle is Dr. Gokul's attorney.
Well, that's ironic because she finds herself in front of every camera whenever it's self-serving to her. Say sorry, okay? How about say I got it wrong?
This has been incredibly, incredibly devastating. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Tell folks why you did what you did.
I did what a physician would do, which is take resources meant for patients and people and give it to them instead of throwing them away. And that's why it was so infuriating.
Kim Ogg is mean and angry. Lena Hidalgo is mean and angry. Make no mistake, this wasn't accidental. This was targeted. And when he dared speak out, they sought to destroy this man. I hope they are shamed. I hope they are humiliated. National news, CBS, taking down a liberal Democrat district attorney in a formerly Republican county. How bad does it have to be? Jason Whitlock of The Blaze is our guest coming up.
Backing the blue. And our vets, too. It's the Michael Berry Show.
Jason Whitlock is the host of Fearless with Jason Whitlock at The Blaze. And I had to have him on when I saw the headline as Whitlock says the NFL should not draw comfort from its ratings rebound. But y'all know me well enough to know this spoke to my soul. Listen to the opening of this. You can't eat comfort food forever. Trust me, I've tried. Eventually, it weighs you down, clogs your arteries, makes your brain sluggish, and causes too many other complications to count. My favorite comfort food is chicken wings. Fried, roasted, baked, smoked, grilled, stir-fried, Cajun, dry rub, barbecue, lemon pepper, teriyaki, mild, medium, or hot. I'm the Patrick Henry of chicken wings. Give me wings or give me death. You know what America's comfort food is? Professional football, the NFL, or college. Jason Whitlock, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me.
You note that the NFL should not draw comfort from its ratings rebound. I didn't realize there had been a ratings rebound, but apparently there has. Why is that?
Oh, I argue that things have been so uncertain and things have changed so rapidly in this country that people are reaching for familiar things. And they're looking to push back against the COVID panic and pandemic. And, you know, it's going to football games is a way of, an actual attendance is a way of saying, screw the people that are, you know, obsessed with masks, obsessed with social distancing, obsessed with the vaccine. We're going to go out and go to these football games and socialize like it's 1999. And I just think that football is a reminder of normalcy. And so people have turned to normalcy for comfort and the NFL. And, you know, I just think it's an initial response. But over time, because, again, I'm part of that response, and I love football, but I no longer love the players and what they represent. And so I watch the games, but not with the same passion or interest. And I just think over time, after this initial bounce back of ratings, what the NFL and other professional sports leagues, the NBA, is already experiencing, it's just like, we just don't feel the same about the athletes that we once did. And so our passion is going to be reduced, and eventually our interest is going to be reduced, and we're going to lean into other things more passionately than we once did professional sports.
Do you think that's also true of college?
Yes, but to a lesser degree. College hasn't, you know, the NFL with all of its Marxist slogans and just leaning into the Black Lives Matter stuff has just been over the top. But, yeah, I do think it's going to impact college football to some degree. Just the way we perceive athletes has changed, and I don't think we can reverse that. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'll ever think of them the way we once did, thinking of them as people that represented the best of American ideas and ideals. And I just think that's gone, the level of respect we had for athletes, and dads and moms taking their kids to games or watching games and saying, hey, you should be like Walter Payton.
Yep.
You should be like Roger Staubach. I just think that's kind of over. I think that the athletes are marketers, their brands, they're just in it solely for the money, and it's so obvious. Other than the great physical condition they're in, I don't know if they're role models for anything else.
I didn't realize how many things it was till you put it in a list. The NFL survived the Colin Kaepernick coup, the CTE head trauma narrative, the Black Lives Matter insurrection, the COVID chaos, and the Me Too feminist wave. You know, that's a lot for the NFL to be weighed down by. And I think a lot of folks that football was a getaway from the struggles of life thought, if I got to go there to be harassed, then I don't need that either. I'll go fishing.
Well, that whole laundry list you just ran off, is, and Roger Goodell and the NFL have tried to make peace. They've acted to all those different groups. Hey, we're going to have female coaches and female referees, and eventually, I would say in the next 10 years, there'll be some man who will identify as a woman who will play in the NFL, and the NFL is going to tell us, look, we got women in the NFL. And they bow to the Black Lives Matter crowd. They've tried to make peace with their enemies, and they think somehow we're going to satiate this group and that group, and they're all going to hop on board. And what they don't understand is those groups want football over. They don't want football to be the America's national pastime. Football is a big symbol of masculinity. It's a big symbol of the patriarchy. And all these groups that Roger Goodell has been making peace with want to end masculinity, traditional masculinity. They're perfectly fine if women want to be masculine. They want to end the patriarchy, and they want to end football. And I think it's a mistake to keep giving in to that group, thinking, well, this will satisfy them. No, they won't be satisfied until football is completely knocked off its pedestal.
I have posted this piece that Jason Whitlock wrote on our blog. It is truly a tour de force because in one paragraph there is reference to Traianus Hadrian, the Roman emperor who coined the phrase peace through strength, and two paragraphs later there's reference to Cameo, Tech Nine, and Rance Allen. Nobody quotes Rance Allen gospel music. Wow. I happen to be a fan, Jason, and you are welcome to come back to the show anytime. You're fantastic. I love your perspectives.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You got it. It really is a well-written piece. Here's a black guy that is a sports commentator who, like our friend Sean Salisbury down the hall, he's not black, but has just kind of had it with sports, just kind of so frustrated with the sports world and the people they used to love. I think you're seeing a lot of this, and it's,
From Lepetians to librarians, everyone listens to The Michael Berry Show.
Did I mean to treat you bad? Yeah, but I did. Your friends that stand around you watch you crumble as you fall down to the ground, and then someday
the FDA your friends that stand has refused to approve the booster for persons 16 and older, saying only for those who are at high risk of severe illness and or over 65 years old. Dealing a big blow to the booster, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But first, I grew up listening to Texas Country Reporter, Bob Phillips, and it has always been my dream, if Bob Phillips ever hangs up his hat, that I would get to be the Texas Country Reporter. I mean, that is a dream. That guy drives around Texas finding and then telling great Texas stories. Years ago, it's been over 10 years ago, we had a board op, and I don't know who it was, but some goober that didn't know up from down, because he said, hey, there's some guy on hold. Oh, so on our screen, the screen fields are name, location, and comments. And so he didn't put anything under the name or the location. He just put under the comments, Texas Country Reporter, which drives me crazy. So has the Texas Country Reporter died? In which case, I need to suit up. Is the Texas Country Reporter in the news? Is it asking me if I know the Texas Country Reporter? Like, that's the subject, but help me out a little bit here. Use your words. So it sits up there for a while because I didn't know what it was about. And then a little while later, the call drops. We go to break 15 minutes later. Hey, what was that about the Texas Country Reporter? Remember, you can't just use the noun. You have to tell me what. Oh, he was on hold. The guy says he's the Texas Country Reporter. Man, I would have loved to have had Bob Phillips on the show. So I start trying to track him down, and I wasn't successful. Eventually, we connected through some mutual friends. Well, in the mail, I think I told y'all a week or so ago, I got in the mail his new book. And it's basically reminiscences of 50 years. He's been doing Texas Country Reporter for 50 years. It wasn't called Texas Country Reporter. It was called, I think, On the Road or something like that. It was just a local TV show for the first 13, 14 years. And then he left and started his own production company and has done, I don't know if he's a multi-bazillionaire, but I mean, I think it's done well. It's been on the air for 50 years. It's the longest running independently produced television show in American history. That's something to be said for. So anyway, I get the book in and I write him a note, said, hey, I'd love to talk to Bob and Kelly and interview you guys. So Bob marries a TV anchor from Beaumont. Kelly, I don't know, I can't remember Kelly's last name. My parents would know. But Kelly was a big deal in Beaumont, beautiful girl. And they married some number of years ago, and now she's out on the road with him, and they travel across Texas, and they tell stories. So I send this note, and Kelly sends back and says, you know, Bob and I would love to have dinner with you, and he'd love to sit down for an interview with you, and how very kind, and we're fans. But I have to tell you, your biggest fan is my dad. So her dad, Dick Lee, lives in Crosby, Texas, and apparently is a super fan of the show. So you just never know, Ramon. You just never know who's listening. And so with that, I'm going to play you the first 1 minute 50 seconds of an 8-minute segment, because I don't have enough time to play the whole thing. If you've never heard Texas Country Reporter, I'm jealous, because now you can go to the YouTubes and go back and watch every episode. But this is my all-time favorite, and some of you probably already know what it is because it's probably yours too. It's by far the most famous segment ever done, and it's on Skid Boot. Skid Boot is a dog, but we're going to take a minute to get there. This is storytelling, yarn spinning, old school, Garrison Keillor, Paul Harvey, Rush Limbaugh. This is storytelling 101. Just homespun Texas storytelling.
Come on, Skid Boot, gotta go to work.
The only thing David Hartwig ever wanted in life was to put in an honest day's work for an honest day's pay.
And I went to horseshoeing school right out of high school. It's a neat way for a guy to make a living, because you work, you get paid. You don't work, you don't get paid. And it's hard work, so if a man's willing to work hard, he can make money. If he's lazy, teaches you what life's all about.
What makes a good shoer?
You got to like a horse, and then you got to make that horse know you like it, and then he'll relax. In other words, this horse is relaxed. I run my hand up here like this, and he'll just relax that leg, and he don't care, and I can sit here all day long. And what makes them not comfortable is if they think that you're mad or upset. You want to concentrate on shoeing, not fighting.
Now, you might think it's a lonely job out here fitting horses with footwear, but David doesn't work alone. He's got a knowledgeable and talented assistant with a cold nose and a wagging tail.
Take it home. Take it to Barbara. Take it to Barbara all the way.
Meet Skid Boot, the most amazing dog you'll ever see.
Well, you can hear the rest of the story if you just go to the YouTubes and look up Texas Country Reporter and Skid Boot. But it is that is quintessential Bob Phillips. And if you've ever watched the show, then that voice is music to your ears. The number of illegal aliens, mostly from Haiti, on the Texas border in Del Rio spiked to 15,000 this weekend. That's bigger than the towns Texas Country Reporter is covering day in and day out. There's an entire new town on our border that's come from Haiti. How'd they get here? Who financed it? What are their intentions? Do they have COVID? What other diseases do they have? How many of them are rapists? How many of them are pedophiles? How many of them are murderers? We don't know who these are. I'm Jacques Perceau. Okay, Jacques, is that even your real name? Where are you from? What's your criminal record? What, do we just ask them and hope they tell us? Before it was, well, we got to make the Mexicans happy because we have so many Mexican Americans here that supposedly they love illegal aliens. Not true, but we're supposed to believe that. Well, now what? Is it the booming Haitian community that we must appease? What in the hell is going on? And where are the Republicans?
Where are our local Republicans in Congress? This is your moment. You have been presented with a golden moment. And what are you doing? What are you doing?
I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.